The next case would be Getting Ready, number 22-9530, Sinclair, Wyoming versus the EPA.
May it please the court, I'm Jeff Homestead for petitioner, and I'd like to reserve 4 minutes for rebuttal. This case is about EPA's denial of regulatory relief, relief that Sinclair requested to ask for the return of certain regulatory credits called RINs. EPA denied this relief, even though it had granted the same relief to 31 other small refineries that were similarly situated. EPA does not dispute that its treatment of Sinclair was different than its treatment of the other small refineries, and EPA does not dispute that this disparate treatment is the result of a mistake that EPA itself made in processing Sinclair's 2018 petition for a hardship exemption.
You are appealing from an email, correct?
No, ma'am. We're appealing from a final agency action that communicated the agency's
decision. Guess that's my question.
Okay.
I'm not so convinced that we're dealing with a final agency action in that email. It appears to me that that email is implementing previously made decisions. Why don't you disabuse me of that notion?
No, I'd be happy to. There are various reasons that small refineries seek the return of RINs. EPA has established only one way that you can do that. You have to send an email to an official EPA email account. That's what you have to do. As soon as Sinclair received its exemption, it submitted a formal request to EPA's official email account, including all the information that was required by EPA. That was the request for the return of the RINs that was submitted. It was copied to the head of EPA's Fuel Compliance Center, a fellow named John Wyrock, who's a senior career official who's in charge of that program. EPA reiterated that same request two more times, again by submitting an email through the only proper channel, submitting an email to EPA's official account with a copy to Mr. Wyrock, the director of the center. EPA later denied that request for the return of the RINs in an email that was from the director of the center and that was copied to the official email account. It's absolutely clear that he was responding on behalf of EPA.
Well, he may be responding on behalf of EPA, but the question is whether this email is the final decision or if the email is just telling you, we're not going to reopen this because we already, the decision was remanded and vacated, and we're relying on that, and we're not going to revisit this. It's already been decided.
As EPA concedes, the denial of a request for regulatory relief is final agency action. EPA even quotes that in its brief. Sinclair submitted a request for regulatory relief to the proper EPA channels. The only place that is denied is in the email from Mr. Wyrock. He points to two other documents, neither of which addresses Sinclair. The government relies on a footnote in one of those documents, and all it said is that this document doesn't apply to Sinclair. They point to nowhere in either of those documents where there's even a hint that they were intending to deny these requests. Those two requests, formally submitted to EPA through the proper procedure, were pending before the agency when they issued those two decisions that the government points to. If they had intended to deny that request, they could have done so. They've never argued that there's anything in those documents that prevents them from granting our request, because there is none. EPA had it fully within its authority to grant those requests even after those documents. They make no mention whatsoever of Sinclair's situation.
Thank you.
The EPA argues that even if there was something additional resolved in the email, that it's still not in the nature of a final agency action. And I'm curious about what you know regarding the procedures here. Was the recipient of the email, the author of the email, was he delegated authority to make the final decision here? Is this something where another refiner might have sent back an email saying, well, we'd like to get an answer from your superior about this? You can't make the final decision here. How does it work within that agency?
EPA has never made that argument. They've never said that that decision could be appealed within the agency. And they certainly defend it here. They don't say that was merely an interlocutory decision that could be appealed to a higher office. He was responding on behalf of EPA. EPA has defended that, not saying it could have been appealed, but by saying, oh, it was resolved in these other actions.
I'm sure their brief, bring this up here. It was already decided in their prior actions, but in any event, it is not the sort of document that constitutes final agency action. They said that. They didn't expand on it very much.
They do make that argument, and we, in our brief, cite to a number of cases where similar documents, emails, responses from EPA have been found to be final agency action. The question under the Supreme Court's test in Bennett v. Speer is whether it marks the consummation of the agency's process,
right,
or whether it can be appealed. EPA has never said that there was a mechanism to appeal that. They said there was another process, but they've never said they're defending what Mr. Wyrock said. They've never said we had another avenue to appeal that decision.
Well, whether it's final agency action is a jurisdictional issue, is it not?
Absolutely, yes, sir.
So we have an obligation to pursue that regardless of the arguments made by the parties, isn't that right?
That's correct.
So I'm interested in the issue.
So as someone who's dealt with EPA for many years, I am not aware of any procedure, and EPA has never pointed us to any procedure. So I
you don't think there's any way to go behind the email author's decision and say, that's very nice that you think that, but the secretary hasn't delegated that authority to you, and we'd like to get a response.
I don't think EPA's official delegations are public. So I don't know.
Oh, really?
I know that EPA General Counsel's Office has a booklet of delegations that can be delegated down to different people.
And it's not public?
I don't think it's public, no. But here's what I would say. If Mr. Wyrock had responded, he had complete authority to respond on his own. If he had returned those RINs, that was final agency action. There was no question about that. Someone could have challenged that in court, but that would have been final agency action. By the same token, when he denied that request, it was the consummation of the agency's decision-making process.
Why wasn't the consummation the April 7 actions?
Because they made no mention whatsoever of the pending requests for regulatory relief. There were two requests that were formally submitted to EPA well before the April 7th actions. Nowhere in either of those actions do they even mention or acknowledge Sinclair's situation. There's no hint in those documents. And the government claims that somehow that established Sinclair's legal rights and obligations. Again, that is not correct. We had a pending petition for request of relief that was pending before the agency. There's nothing about those April 7th actions that has any bearing on that petition. EPA had full legal authority to grant our request for relief, and they denied it. And they never argued that there was some other process that we should have followed. They basically said you should have just accepted these other three documents, and the only place you can challenge those is in the D.C. Circuit. But if we tried to challenge the denial of the request for regulatory relief in either of those actions, there's nothing we can point to.
Aren't you seeking the same relief here as you are in the D.C. Circuit? That is, return of the RINs.
In this case, what we've asked for is for it to be strike down as arbitrary and capricious.
Well, no, that doesn't answer the question.
No, but the specific relief that we have asked for here is for EPA to fashion a meaningful remedy on remand.
And that means return of the RINs.
Well, we think that's a likely outcome. In the ACD case, what we call the compliance action case, we do raise many of these same facts because these cases are related in some ways. And what our complaint there is that they completely ignored Sinclair. They made no mention whatsoever of the situation. They didn't acknowledge that there was another refinery that had received relief on the same basis as that had received exemptions, just like all the other ones had.
Well, in the DC action, you specifically asked for instructions to EPA to issue RIN replacement orders.
That is correct.
Okay.
But we're challenging two very separate actions. There's no reasoning in that action that applies to Sinclair. The fact that we could conceivably get the same relief in two actions.
Doesn't footnote 5 apply to Sinclair?
Yeah.
It says this determination does not apply to Sinclair. That's the word that, I'm sorry. It says this determination does not apply to these other 5 refineries. So
isn't Sinclair one of the 5 refineries?
It is, but I'm not aware of any case where the agency's silence is constrained.
It isn't silent. It referred to the 5 refineries, and in context, one of them is Sinclair.
With all due respect, we've searched for language in that document that could conceivably respond to our petitions for relief. We are entitled. There's a process to follow to ask for that regulatory relief. EPA has not denied that relief in that document. There's no place we can point to.
Let me ask you this way. In the D.C. Circuit, isn't Sinclair, among the others, challenging the April 7 decisions as applied to Sinclair? Otherwise, why would you even be there?
We're in three different cases. Not because that's our choice, but because EPA took 3 separate actions that they treat as separate. At least 2 of those they say are separate and distinguishable. The only one that even, and the one that they call the denial document is really not relevant to this case. The ACD case, the compliance action, it has that one footnote that says this does not apply to these 5 refineries. It doesn't acknowledge that Sinclair is in the exact same position as the 31 refineries that were covered in that ACD. We have asked for the court to order replacement RINs in that case. We and one other petitioner who were involved in that case, but we don't know what action the EPA may take on remand, and there's certainly a number of other things that they could do.
Isn't there a risk that the Tenth Circuit does something different than what the D.C. Circuit does on this?
There is no risk here of contradicting actions from the court. What we ask for is for appropriate relief from EPA, and we believe that could be in the form of replacement RINs.
If we denied that, if we said you're not entitled to replacement RINs, can you ask the D.C. Circuit to rule that you are entitled to them, or are you collaterally stopped at that point?
At that point, we believe that we would have to drop that claim. Yes, if this court reaches the merits and is satisfied that Sinclair has not been treated disparately, then and in fact we did filed our case against the compliance action. We asked it to be held in abeyance, to be severed and held in abeyance, and the government fought that request. But if we prevail here and we prevail there, as we think about these cases, if we prevail here, depending on the relief that we get here, we might still have to prevail in that case. The cases are unquestionably related.
Because you're saying you're not treated as well as some of the other refiners, but the decision by the D.C. Circuit may eliminate that relief for the other refiners also? Is that a possibility in the other case?
So we acknowledge that the relief that was given to 31 other refineries If that relief is struck down with respect to those 31, then we're not entitled to any relief either. So we do, I think we've said that in our briefs, but that's undoubtedly true.
Thank you. Mr. Grillo.
Good morning, Your Honors.
I'm very interested in the jurisdictional issue. I'm not sure I see this the same way as my colleagues, but this, until the letter arrived that they claim is the final agency action, the EPA had not really confronted the possibility that Sinclair should be treated differently from the other four, because the only reason it couldn't get relief was created because of an error by the EPA in their original application. And the decision before this email doesn't address that point, does it?
The decision before the email that's currently being litigated in the D.C. Circuit is the scope of the compliance action. So EPA denied all the petitions for 2018 for the denial action. It then took the compliance action to address the implications of that on the RFS program as a whole. And that determination essentially did not involve individual adjudication. So that issue, whether they were differently treated and whether they should have been involved and included in that compliance action, that is the hardest and best claim in the D.C. Circuit. That is exactly what they're arguing. That's the place for them to argue that, not in response to this email from Mr. Weirach.
Well, you don't think they could properly seek some further decisions from the EPA saying, wait, you reached this decision and it doesn't address in any way our issue. I don't see how the EPA could defend its failure to address that in the D.C. Circuit without the circuit finding that the decision by the EPA was arbitrary and capricious because they gave no explanation whatsoever.
That issue is in front of the D.C. Circuit, Your Honor. So that may be the case. That argument is going to be made. We will defend that argument. We're not going to make a jurisdictional argument in the D.C. Circuit. We're going to argue on the merits. We're going to let the D.C. Circuit decide.
So you'd rather stand on the proposition that we don't have to give any explanation of why we don't treat somebody differently in this circumstance. I would think you'd have a hard time explaining why that's not arbitrary and capricious. You'd rather do that and lose than acknowledge that perhaps the issue was not addressed, and until the email that Sinclair says is a final agency action.
Well, at the end of the day, the email, getting back to the jurisdictional point, is really just the communication of the implications of the denial action. So the email itself is not a final agency action, and that really ends the inquiry here. The D.C. Circuit can take up the equitable issues.
An agency that misses a point, I mean, that'd be like, I'm trying to think of an analogy. But if the agency fails to come to grips with an important issue in a case and issues a decision, then a later decision saying, well, we have considered that issue, and you lose, that's not a new decision.
But Mr. Weirach didn't do any consider. I think that's really the heart of this final agency action.
Well, how do we know that?
So Mr. Weirach, you were talking to Mr. Homestead about delegation, his role with the EPA. So let me just take a minute and explain that. Mr. Weirach runs the Fuel Compliance Center. So he implements fuels compliance, which is essentially, there's a system by which if you separate RINs when you blend, then you retire those RINs at the end. He runs the database that connects those things. His boss is Byron Brunner, who is the director of the compliance division. Is one of four sections within the Office of Transportation Air Quality that's run by Sarah Dunham. And then above that is Joseph Gottman, who's the Deputy Administrator in the Office of Air and Radiation. So Mr. Gottman is the individual who Sinclair was emailing in March of 2021 in an effort to convince them to return the RINs. So that's the person, Sinclair knows that's the person who makes the decisions. He's the policymaker, the decision maker, the head of the Office of Air and Radiation, which ultimately runs this program. Mr. Weirach is an auditor. He's a bookkeeper who runs a database. And he looked at the request.
He can't, I don't know what the formal terminology is, but Councilor Sinclair was saying that he could refund money and that's the last, you know, that's the final.
He could only return RINs if Sinclair has a valid exemption. So all this comes down to, under the RFS program, you have an obligation to comply with your RFS obligations, unless you get a small refinery exemption. Sinclair's was denied in 2018. They then briefly obtained a grant in January 2021. Administrator Wheeler issued a grant. That grant was challenged. Ultimately, the United States moved to vacate and remand that grant decision because it was inconsistent with intervening case law, the RFA decision here in the 10th. Sinclair did not oppose the vacater and remand. Judge Matheson was on that panel. And that decision, the brief grant that they had obtained in January 2021, was vacated by this court, remanded without opposition from Sinclair. They filed a separate document. At the time that the United States filed its motion, the position was unclear. Sinclair filed a separate document, not opposing. That is the vehicle by which they obtained the grant. And it was those emails that they say were pending were the emails that were sent when they had this grant. That grant was also vacated. So it comes to Mr. Weirach. Mr. Weirach looks at the record and he sees, do they have a valid exemption? Yes, no. It's a binary decision. The answer is no. So he says, you don't get your RIN today. And in the email, the very email that's questioned, he points to that vacater. He says, as you may recall, EPA's January 2021 action, granting a small refinery exemption to the Sinclair Wyoming refinery, was immediately challenged. EPA sought voluntary remand and vacater of the action, which the U.S. Board of Appeals for the 10th Circuit granted in May 2021. I have attached the court order for your reference. So your grant was vacated. Here's the documentation. Then he points to the April 7, 2022 decision and says you don't have a grant there. Therefore, I can't return your emails. I can't return your RINs.
Here's what this looked like to me. There's a pending request from Sinclair that they should be treated differently from the other four, I think it is, refiners that don't get treated. Who didn't get treated the way the other 30 refiners, or I don't think, I'm not sure I get the numbers right.
Yes.
And there is a difference in Sinclair's position. And they haven't gotten any response from EPA explaining why they're not treated differently. So now Weirach, that's the way it's pronounced?
Weirach.
Responds and says, I'm responding to those emails. And essentially, I'm saying you're not going to be treated differently. We're responding. Maybe we don't give a very good explanation, but we're finally responding. So that's something new. It's not just reporting what's already been decided. But then you say in your brief, and this is what interested me, agency actions that are informal or only the ruling of a subordinate official or tentative are unlikely to be final actions because they do not consummate a decision-making process. And I was curious what the background for that is. Why is Weirach's decision just an informal ruling by a subordinate official? And that's where I was going to focus my question, is where does the process in the EPA in this case fit within that rubric? And I'm not really satisfied with the response that Weirach didn't say anything new. It seemed to me he's saying, I'm responding to all your requests for special treatment, and you lose.
I think the key is that he's not responding to requests for special treatment.
Doesn't he say he's responding to these three prior emails?
But the pending emails said, essentially, we have a grant, we should get our RINs back. EPA was silent on those and did not return the RINs during the pendency of this litigation surrounding the grant that was the reason for those emails.
the emails don't say, you screwed us, you made a mistake, and now we're really...
That was all in the advocacy for obtaining the grant, and in the grant itself, the Wheeler grant from January 2021, the emails that he's responding to, the emails that were sent to the Fuels Compliance Center say, we have a grant, give us our RINs back. EPA did not respond to those during the pendency of litigation. The grant was stayed for some period of time. Ultimately, EPA decided to seek vacatur. Vacatur was granted. So during all that was happening, YROC was not in the picture. So then the April denial action comes, and Sinclair sends another email saying, what about our RINs? You've issued these two actions, the denial and compliance actions. What about our RINs? And YROC says, I look at the denial action. I don't see a valid exemption. You don't get your RINs back. So to the extent that their problem is they're being differently treated, that's in the denial and compliance actions, which are in the D.C. circuits. And they've made those arguments, and they're making them or litigating them presently.
Now, you had the backup argument in your brief that even if he was saying something new, he was a subordinate official, da-da-da. Can you expand on that? Do you think the fact that these people higher up in the hierarchy are the people who have authority, he's just a pencil pusher or just doesn't make any discretionary decisions? You're saying for that reason it's not a final action.
So he doesn't make discretionary decisions. He's not the ultimate
How do we know that? Is that clear from the record that he doesn't make discretionary decisions?
I think it's clear from the record when you look at the emails and when Sinclair was trying to obtain a grant from Wheeler and was complaining about this for treatment. The emails were going to Mr. Goffman, who was the head of the Office of Air, three levels above Mr. Weirach. There's nothing in the record showing that Mr. Weirach was in any way involved in these making decisions. Mr. Goffman is the individual who signed the denial action and the compliance action and the register. He's the decision maker, the ultimate decision maker, and Sinclair knows that. So Weirach was not the person who you would lean upon or who you would try to...
How could you teach us what Sinclair knows?
I think it's evident from the record, from the emails showing that when Sinclair is asking for something, they go to Mr. Goffman.
There aren't delegations of authority and things like that within the EPA that would tell us these things?
I'm not aware of a formal delegation of authority granting Mr. Weirach discretionary authority to decide who gets RINs in the absence of an exemption. But whether or not you get an exemption or not, that's the final agency action that drives Mr. Weirach's decision-making in the Fuels Compliance Center.
Okay, I've taken a lot of time from my colleagues who probably have lots of questions. No?
Well, just to be clear on one point, do you agree that but for EPA's mistake way back when in not sending the document to DOE, I think it was in 2019, that Sinclair would have its RINs back?
EPA does not concede that. EPA recognizes that the documents were not sent to DOE, but EPA ultimately does not concede that Sinclair would have received a grant in August of 2019. Additional documents were, so Wheeler did grant an exemption in January 2021. He looked at materials that were submitted in January of 2020, October of 2019. There was additional information that was there that was not present in August of 2019, even if EPA had passed the documents on that it had at that time. And it's also not clear what that ultimate decision would have been. We have a decision from January 2021, we have a score from January 21, but we don't have, it's hard to go back and recognize exactly what would have happened. We do recognize that the documents did not get passed on.
This is actually a follow-on to Judge Hart's. If the email had come from Mr. Goffman instead of Mr. Weirach, would that change your position?
Clearly not the case here, but if the email had come from Mr. Goffman, it would not have been the rote application, you have a denial, therefore you do not get your RINs back. It might have been the explanation that Judge Hart's looking for. I think it would have a different nature and character, and would be by a final decision maker. So I would say yes.
Even in the face of the April 7 decisions and the D.C. Circuit action?
So I don't think Mr. Goffman, honestly, in practice, would take action by writing an email. The EPA would issue an action like the denial action or the compliance action, or to the extent, to your point, Judge Hart, the compliance action could contain additional language. Those are all things that are properly litigated in the context of what the formal agency actions are here, which is the denial and compliance actions, not this email.
Counsel said something about the denial action having nothing to do with this appeal. I take it you don't agree with that.
I disagree, because ultimately, Sinclair is only entitled to the return of its rents if it has an exemption for the 2018 compliance year, and the denial action conclusively shows that it does not. So it is relevant, and Sinclair is challenging the denial action.
And one of the challenges is it's arbitrary and capricious because the agency gave zero explanation for why it was not treating Sinclair differently.
That is exactly the argument they made in their opening brief on the compliance action in the D.C. Circuit, is that we were treated differently than these other refineries, we were excluded from the compliance action improperly, and therefore we should get it. It was arbitrary and capricious.
And it's arbitrary and capricious because no explanation's been given.
That is being litigated in the D.C. Circuit, which is where it should be litigated.
What about the point they make in their brief, and they've made it several times this morning, that the April 7 denial and compliance actions don't specify Sinclair?
I think footnote 5, as you noted in the question of my colleague, is clear in that it shows that it applied to those unique. The compliance action was designed to address the unique situation of individuals who had, the refineries, who had had their rents returned, and it did not include Sinclair. So footnote 5 doesn't use the word Sinclair, it says the other refineries, which includes Sinclair.
And is that for confidentiality reasons that you didn't name them?
I can't speak to that precise question, but what I can say is that the actual names of the refineries were placed in the appendix, and but I do not know the motivation of the author of that footnote.
Okay.
If there are no further questions, then Sinclair's petition should be dismissed because the email is not a final agency action.
Did he have any time left?
No.
Did we go over with him also? I'm going to give you a minute.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I can make just one point. This is the first time I've heard of the EPA disputes that had they not made a mistake, we would have been in the same position. That's not what they say in their briefs, and that's not true. Second, we made 3 requests to Sinclair. The 3rd request came after the compliance action, and it specifically referred to that fact, and it said, with the recent decision to overturn these exemptions, but still not require these other companies to retire any RINs against their 2018 obligation, we are now requesting EPA to unretire the RINs related to our refinery activity. That is a request that was made after the compliance action was decided. It certainly was not considered or addressed, but it was before Mr. Wyrock. And the idea that EPA as an agency can make a decision, and that's not reviewable because it's communicated by an EPA employee, EPA has processes where they consider these decisions, and how they communicate those should not be as important as the fact that it was clearly intended to be the position of the agency on the request for relief that we had submitted. There's nowhere else that those are rejected other than in that email, and that's why we're challenging that here.
Thank you, counsel. This would not be appropriate unless it were a jurisdictional issue, but if either party or both want to submit additional authority on this issue of whether Mr. Wyrick, whether this is an informal or only the ruling of a subordinate official, I would find that helpful. Maybe the other members of the panel can resolve the issue without getting into that matter, but I think that could be helpful, because I'm at a loss to know whether Mr. Wyrick is a subordinate official who can't make final decisions. Well, thank you very much. That was a great argument. Case is submitted. Counsel are excused and will be in recess.